Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me as always is Nathan. Nathan, I'm drinking scotch, and I've been completely out of touch with humanity for the last week. Mostly because my family's been up here to visit, and whenever my family comes to visit, I don't touch the internet. Also took a week off work, so it's just one of those times when, like, things were happening and, like, I was getting Facebook notifications and things of that nature. But, like, I don't know what's going on. So when you were asking me, like, oh, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. What the fuck has gone on all this week?
There's NID pictures. Spartan Games be fucking up. And so forth. But what are you drinking?
All that to come and more this week on Jaded Gamercast. Gin and ginger ale, as usual. Actually, I was feeling kind of tired being like a Sunday and all. So I was like, should I do coffee and Bailey's? But then I was like, making coffee would just be more effort than I'm willing to put in at this moment. So, all right, that wins. Sometimes lazy is the right answer. What can I say?
I find most times lazy is the right answer. Definitely tends to be the case with hobby.
Yes. Right?
So you were listening to Jaded Gamercast. Let's talk a little bit about what we did this week in hobby. As you may have known from my earlier statement, I did not do anything for this week in hobby. However, I did get my Firestorm Armada 2nd edition rulebook, and I have read through it. It is very exciting. I'm looking forward to being able to talk about it, so much so that I almost made Nathan do a show where he has not seen the book just so I could talk about it, and he could go, in the background. Because I'm that excited for it.
That is true. He's like, we could talk about that. I'm like, I didn't get my book. Like, Kyle's shipment didn't come in on Friday. He's like, well, you know, I have the book. And I was just like, but it's not a discussion.
Because, again, Spartan be fucking up. Yes. And you know, again, we'll talk about that later in the show. But when it comes to hobby stuff, yeah, I've been putting together a lot of ships. I'm trying to get my Works Raptor stuff together. I'm definitely going to be putting my Works Raptor into my Directorate fleet, and then I've got a bunch of Directorate ships that I want to paint. But I can't do any of that until I get that sweet, sweet Commando khaki you're going to bring me on New Year's. So much of my hobby time this week was actually spent playing Magic, the Gathering, because my brother was in town, and he kind of likes playing Magic. And so we picked up a couple decks with my cousins and basically just played like 2v2 games. Between like seeing the Hobbit and drinking.
It's like I don't even know you anymore.
Magic, I know, it's so weird, right? Well, you see, that's the thing you don't know about me. I did used to play a lot of Magic the Gathering in high school. I don't mind, I got nothing against
ladies.
He's married. Yes.
I have nothing against Magic the Gathering other than the principle of collectible card games, where it's just like the whole like I've worked at a store that sells Magic cards, and I've seen new releases come out, and I've seen guys where they're just like, oh, I'm just looking for one card to add to my deck, so I'm probably going to buy 10 boxes right now, but I'm going to do them one at a time and hope I get lucky. So I'll have a box of this release, please. And you're just like, fuck me, are you kidding? Like, you're going to drop $1,000 for a card.
Here's the interesting thing right now, Nathan, and I think that this is kind of what's allowed me to come back to Magic and go, ah, you know what, sweet old friend, let's have some games. Part of it is that, yeah, people do that, and it's crazy, and it's a certain type of person who, like, that's what they enjoy about the game, is being able to just go fucking wackadoo nuts with building their decks, and they go online, and they get these lists off the internet, and they put those decks together and play them. You know, and I get it. Like, a lot of people like playing that, and the whole metagame aspect of it is really, you know, really popular and really fun. But there are two other aspects to Magic right now that are very popular. The first is the sealed play, where you basically everyone buys it. Like, a bunch of people will pool their money together and buy a box of cards and then dole out some cards. And then just whatever you get in the booster packs, you have to make a deck out of. Mm-hmm. Which is very interesting, because you don't really have a whole lot of control over what you're getting. There's a certain amount of random luck, but there's still a bit of deck building in there, which I think is what people like. And it's very reminiscent to like when you first got into Magic and you just had a couple booster packs to put your shit together.
Yeah.
The other thing that people play is basically the starter deck builds. Mm-hmm. And then they will just play the starter decks, right? Because there's so many different types of starter decks available. They'll basically even do just like random draws, where you're like, you'll draw something out of a hat, or you'll spin a wheel, and it'll be like, oh, guess what? You're playing this white-red deck. Go. and you like you don't really get to do much. Maybe you've got like a 15 card sideboard, but you just have to play the deck that you're given. And you know, like I think that just having those different aspects where it's not just build whatever the fuck you want and rape every person that you've ever played against. It's more of like, ah, some of them are luck of the draw. Some of them have list building. So I like playing the starter decks personally. I do like the sealed play, but not as much. I just find it takes too long.
I was going to say, that's interesting because the booster draft has always been the one notion of playing Magic where I was just like, I could get behind this. Cause like I've seen it play where it's just like, there's like 9 cards in a pack or something. Right. So it's just like, or however 15. Many. Okay. In which case it's just like, all right, everyone's going to grab, you know, it's like starting with this guy cause he won whatever. You're going to pick one card and then pass it to your left and you're going to go around until that back thing, you know, that pack's empty. Then the next person's going to open a new pack and go on. And I mean, I think that's very interesting.
That is one of the ways of doing it. Yes.
But like I said, I've never played Magic. So even though they're like, it's booster draft night, you should come. I'm like, I'm not going to be that guy where I'm like, okay, so what do I do now with the things?
What does trample mean? Yes. No, you know, and I think that's absolutely where you just have to kind of, I think that's where the starter decks is very fun because of the fact that it's balanced enough that you can have some fun with it, but there are weaknesses to every deck. And so if you end up playing this deck against this deck, you're in trouble. But I like it. I like the way that that's played. It's not just about getting the best deck, playing the best odds and you know, magic hammering. I don't know. Math magicking. I don't know what you would call it. The hell out of the game. But yeah. Anyways, sorry to interrupt. What else did you do this week?
I have just been painting some Firestorm Armada ships. Like I said, I'm actually really stoked about second edition. I always had two issues with Firestorm Armada. I feel like second edition is one of those issues, and the other issue I've come to terms with. So that's why I'm just like, you know what? I'm actually legitimately excited to get some games in. Out of the Basement Open is running, you know, Firestorm Armada tourney. So I'm looking forward to the double fleet game action. So I have at this point 5 ships out of my 16 ship fleet completely finished. Another 3 that just require me to stop procrastinating. Because the teeth effect took so long on the one ship that I've been stalling.
What did you go for the vagina channel? What color did you use? Because I gave you a couple. I was like a brown or a dark flesh tone.
Well, I didn't do anything in the middle, to be honest, in the tunnel. Because, I mean, if I was, it would have
to be pretty. It's a channel, Nathan. It's a channel. Okay. That is clearly a channel with gills.
Then I would have to go straight pink to fit our vagina theme.
I said flesh tone. I mean, you didn't have to go pink if you didn't want to. But like, yeah.
No, honestly, though, just doing the teeth effect on all the outside. So my toothy vagina that is ready to bite some Dendrenzi cocks off. It's for you, Jason.
Doesn't matter what race you are. We're all pink on the inside. Except for the spiders. They're green.
Fucking spider people.
Fucking spider vaginas.
But yeah, so like I said, I did the teeth effect and I was just like, the ship looks finished now. Yep, I'm like, sure. I don't really feel like I need to do anything else. So like I said, I did that on the one. I still have the 4 Mark I frigates that I finished off because they're super round. They don't have a teeth effect or anything.
Yeah.
But they had enough gems that they looked finished doing gems.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you could do a little bit of white on the tips, just kind of where things come to a point and see if that just works out for you. Just the tip.
But yeah, that's been me. I will probably have those 3 guys done for next week, I'm hoping. And then I can start on to my my frigates, my medium size, or I guess my cruisers, because mm-hmm. I'm finishing all of my frigates. But yeah, that's my goal, is start small, work my way up, because honestly, I have no idea how I'm going to paint that dreadnought, so I'm saving it for last.
Well, yeah, I mean, that dreadnought is... It's epic, to say the least. All right, so let's get on to the weekly listener poll for this week. The question that we asked you guys was, do you prefer casual games or tournament games? With a landslide victory, casual games make up for 89% of the vote.
Yeah, this is like dictatorship levels
oh, yeah.
of votes reporting in.
Caesar did not have these numbers. And only five people voted. 10% said we prefer tournament games. You know, I am not surprised at this because I knew that casual games was going to win. I'm surprised at how much it won by. I'm really surprised that, you know, most people were very grounded in the idea that, like, you know, when it comes to these types of games, you know, playing it casual kind of tends to be the way to go. We had a comment here from TechMet. He says, I was playing tournament games during 5th edition 40K, but I will only play casual games during 6th. The way they're balancing, quote unquote, stuff is just too weird. They're just down with, ooh, shiny syndrome. Just keep adding broken stuff that might just make you buy models. So I hate the new rules, but I love the models, so I'm still going to play. I think that's interesting. I don't know if I would necessarily say that it's the balancing question, but mm-hmm. I definitely do understand how you would look at 5th edition and go, 5th edition was a better tournament game, because right now it's so muddled as a tournament game that 5th edition almost seems clean. I know that seems very weird.
Which is so weird.
It's very strange that never said that a year ago when we were reviewing 6th edition.
Right. No, but I mean, I do feel like tournament play for Warhammer 40,000 6th edition, if you look at the last year, the top army has changed about 3 or 4 times. Basically, every release is introducing a new top army. And it's not like, it's weird because I don't want to say that it's like 7th edition demons bad with how over the top the best army is, but they are like head and shoulders better than everyone always. So tournament 40K, I can see it. I can see a lot of people looking at it and going, yeah, you know, it's who can spend the most money. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, this build is unbeatable. Well now this build beats the fuck out of that build, but it still beats everything else. So this
and it is means buying world. 3 gigantic kits and spamming kits.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So like I said, I can definitely see the notion of the pay to win. And I mean, honestly, I think it's what's interesting about that is finally the 40K tournament scene is starting to catch on because Feast of Blades is starting to comp the shit out of 40K. Mm-hmm. It's just straight up saying, you know,
quite a bit more comp. I think there, you know, there's at least 3 points of comp now that you kind of have to look at and say, you know, are we going to allow allies? Are we going to allow rulebook scenarios? Are we going to, you know what I mean? Like every
are we
single
allow Lords of War. Are we
yeah, exactly. Escalation, so on and so forth. I think everybody kind of has to look at it and say from that organizer perspective, you know, which of the comp points are we going to hit and say, this is this kind of tournament that we're trying to run. Are we running the new, everything's open, go crazy tournament? Or are we running the old school army versus army tournament, not army versus army plus army plus army tournament?
Yes.
Ian says, if I have to put on pants to play, it's going to be a tough sell. Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
I just don't understand how going to a tournament and wearing pants are required. I mean, if bathing is optional, why are pants mandatory? I've never seen it in a player's pack. I'm throwing it out there.
It's part of the comp. Chris White Scars Carlson says, casual games, how else could 5th edition White Scar players play? White Scars rule. But bikes did not in 5th. In fact, I only won one game in 5th against a recurring Tau player. That is ow. Ironically, my other army was pre-New Codex Necrons. So if I want to enjoy a game, now I play casual with no intent on winning. It's about the narrative. No, period. You know, I think that's interesting. I can't even find the narrative anymore. You know what I mean? Is that just me?
I mean, sort of. Like I said, I've been saying it for some time now, but I do feel like 40K is still a great game if you're playing with people that you know aren't going to do shit up. And I think you might be able to build a narrative out of that. I know that everything Forge World is releasing now, since pre-Heresy Marines are not just paying the rent, they're also paying the fucking Rolls-Royce payments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that Forge World is pushing really hard on the whole narrative and really tying in with Black Library. So maybe it's just you. But like for casual pickup games, I don't feel like there's a narrative anymore. Not when he's just like, I've got my Skulldozer to go with my 3 Hell Drakes because fuck your dolphins. And I'm like, oh, I hate this. This isn't even fun.
Oh, fuck all the dolphins. All right, so Tyler says, I played a lot of tournament games in 3rd to 5th editions, but as soon as I picked up playing Privateer Press games, bracket. I know you guys hate their models, and to be honest, about 95% are shit. Okay. I realize that playing a game that isn't designed to be played in a competitive environment is just a colossal waste of time. Interesting. From GW's perspective, they will always say that 40K is not meant to be played in a competitive environment. I mean, because that has to be the tagline. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be. But they wouldn't release FAQs. You know, like, they wouldn't spend so much time trying to balance a codex or an army book if it wasn't meant for some sort of competitive play. Everybody knows that GW's stance on it is just the out from them taking any sort of heat from the idea that they're not putting out balanced army books and codexes. We've seen in the last, pretty much every book for 8th edition fantasy, they've stuck to the same themes and they've stuck to the same level of balance. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So I don't think you could really say that Games Workshop games are not meant to be played competitively. I do think that they're meant to be played competitively.
Well, I wouldn't say that they're necessarily meant, because I do not believe that the game devs sit there and go, well, you know, in a tournament or, you know, blah, 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 or this has to be perfectly balanced. But I think that, like you said, 8th edition fantasy has proven that they know what they're doing. So if they want to make everything along the same kind of level and try to sell new releases based on their merits, you can do that. I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's because of the buy to win 40K tournament gamers, but I feel as if they're now just like, yeah, but if we just make everything legal, you can sell it. But with that being said, I really do think that Escalation is an attempt to get some of the sunk costs on Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I mean, Apocalypse was a terrible game when it first came out. And honestly, like, when they re-released Apocalypse, neither you nor I had any interest whatsoever in even attempting to play it. Like, you know, neither of us looked at the Apocalypse and said, this is something we're going to do for the podcast. And there have been some real stinkers we have done for mm-hmm. the podcast. Like, we have knowingly gotten garbage bullshit things, but neither of us, like, we didn't even have the Apocalypse discussion. You never brought it up, I never brought it up, no. Because we both knew it would be a waste of time and money. So now they're like, Escalation, well, we got to sell the Skull Dozer, we only sold two. Yeah. Someone needs to buy more of these.
Well, no, they sold more than two initially. I would say they probably haven't sold more than two since they came out in that initial shipment. So John Pearson says, I play far more casual games than I do tournament games. I'm a competitive individual, so the nature of gaming appeals to me. If and when I participate in a tournament, I play to win. However, the desire to win is not what sends me to a tournament. It's the opportunity to play several games over a weekend that gets me going. Winning does not mean shit if games aren't fun. Amen, Pastor John. I'm right there with you. I think that describes my viewpoint on it. I do like playing in tournaments, but the goal of playing in a tournament for me is to play lots of games, and mm-hmm. I do play to win, because as I've said before, Nathan and I are tryhards. What tryhard means is we try to act like we don't really care about winning, but we sure as fuck put every goddamn ounce of our souls into winning that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the way it goes.
And that's why, you know, when we play each other, the loser pushes the winner's buttons, the winner slaps the loser. It just happens.
It's exciting.
But, you know, and that's funny, too, because for me, I actually voted tournament, but John sums up my feelings as well, where it's just like,
casual.
I would rather play a casual game, but I play to win, and in a lot of cases, like, I have had casual games where it's negative fun for my opponent because he didn't expect me to bring the level of game that I did. I felt bad for it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not the asshole whose self-esteem relies on, like, crushing new players. But like I said, it's just one of those things where it's like, when I play, I'm bringing the fucking hardest army I can, and I'm playing to win. And
well, I don't even know
With that being said, I treat everything like a casual game. I don't care if it's a tournament or not. I mean, like, I'll fucking buy drinks, hang out, chill, whatever, because to me, that's my hobby. As I said, I'm not going to take a not optimized army list. It's literally something I would never do.
Well, so, and I think that that's kind of the thing. I think whether it's a casual game or a tournament, you and I both have this perspective of, we play the list right? Mm-hmm. And that's the idea. Like, I don't go into a casual game going, like, I'm trying to crush this guy. Metagame's coming, this, that, and the other thing.
Oh, no, not
at
all.
He's playing Chaos Dwarves. I'm bringing Lore Metal. What I do is I'll build a tournament list, and then I'll play it in more casual games than I ever played in a tournament. Because, like, I like to play my lists. I like to build a list that I feel like can meet all comers, and then get in there and just play it and see what I mm-hmm. like, see what I don't like. That's what I like about the game. But casual games are much more conducive to that, even though yes. what I'm bringing will tend to be a harder list or will tend to be a more, you know, tournament level type build. You know, with the exception of armies that I don't want to paint new models for. And in that case, it's just, I got to try to make something happen with what I have here. And yes. then it's out the window. So I would say for like my two competitive armies, mm-hmm. I do that. And then for everything else that I own, I'm just like, it's what I own. Let's do this. Black coach. Well, yes, yeah, black mean, coach. I mean, it's on the table.
God, the last two fantasy tournaments I've gone to have literally yes, been, exactly. What do I own that I don't have to paint more mm-hmm. for?
A lot of people fall into that bracket.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. But like I said, when I play, I love going to tournaments because I get 5-6 games in a very short period of time. And I am able to go there with a hard list, knowing that my opponent has a hard list. I'm able to play that game. And like that's the end of it. So like I said, that's why I kind of like tournaments, even though I treat tournament games like casual games. Mm-hmm. It's weird like that. But with that being said, I would rather play against like you or John or Aaron because in a casual game, because I know we are all on the same page, or even Maddie, where it's just like we are all bringing fuck you styles of lists and we are all playing our list to, you know, to win.
To sharpen the blade, so to say.
Yeah, exactly. So like I said, that's cool. Although, like I said, I was also surprised at almost 90% casual games.
The landslide really surprised me. And I was very interested in the fact that nobody who voted tournament games actually commented in terms of like why they like tournament games. But anyways, thanks to everyone who voted on our poll this week. You can find that at jdgamercast.com. We will have another question for you at the end of the show. If we remember.
If we remember.
All right. So let's talk about dicks. Because I think dicks is the best way to sum up all of the models that we are looking at today, which is we're going to talk about the new Tyranid models, the GW leaked photos that are hilariously, hilariously bad leaks. And mm-hmm. like just fucking mind baffling levels of like, really, you think that is what somebody did on their phone. Anyways, we'll talk about it when we get there.
Well, maybe they honestly think that like every issue of the new White Dwarf is treated with like a Mission Impossible break-in, like to get the Nox list.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Like, the Nox
list. You know, which is why they're just like, you know, that's why it's just like, you know, it has to be a shitty photo because someone's coming. You're getting pulled up through the roof again. And the black guy's saying toast. Like that is what is happening. Every month, a new White Dwarf goes off the presses. Oh, like God. that is what they expect us to believe. Because, well, okay. Yeah.
We all understand why they leak.
Conveniently low quality yes, photos.
We all understand why they leak the photos. It's just, they're so bad at it. I think that's what's so hilarious about it is they're just so bad at it. Were it actually just a guy with a White Dwarf snapping pictures of the page on his cell phone camera casually, we would be like, oh, somebody got a hold of it and they took some pictures. But like the pictures we're seeing are hilarious. Like they're well framed. They're very clearly cropped a certain way. And, you know, like anyways, we will be talking about the images that were linked on the JD Gamercast Facebook group. Before we get into this, I did want to make a comment because I think I may have brought this up a couple podcasts ago, but I want to make it again. If you guys click to join the JD Gamercast Facebook group and then you have to wait, just wait. We will get to it. Usually we get to it pretty quick. Weird weeks like this where like I can't get to the computer. But most of the time it's like within a couple minutes, maybe an hour, we'll have you in the group. The only reason why we have it like that is because otherwise the group is riddled with spam. So that is the way that you do it. But don't click to join and then go, fuck this, and then like take your invitation away so that we can't improve it. Because we want mm-hmm. you in there. We want your input. Anyways,
We want you. We want you.
Let's talk about Tyranids. Nathan, I mean, this is you, my friend. So indeed. What is your overall impression of what you've seen so far?
I've got to go meh.
Lot of meh happening with me, too.
You know, because like I said, the New Warriors box was a recut in the style of the New Tactical Marines, in which you cannot tell it's a new box. Mm-hmm. I like that, though. I did think that the Warriors were perfect, so I like the fact that we're getting a recut that gives me the options to create a prime, as well as actually give me all the goddamned weapons options they can take instead of forcing me to buy, like, shoddy, like, fucking third-party, you know, resin conversion bits that don't even look good. Right. So thank you. The Warriors, I love. I think that the Harpy dual kit looks interesting. I really need to see more angles of it. From what I see, it doesn't look terrible. And then you've got really kind of take it or leave it ones, like the big, you know, the two variations of the big bug. Although, as someone rightfully pointed out, with Carnifex being taken, I don't even know what to call this.
I have something, but we'll wait till we get
there. Okay, we can wait. We can wait for it. And then there are just fucking terrible models in here as well, like that that Tyrant Guard with the linebacker shoulder pads.
Oh, dude, I think the
that biggest... is the single worst model the Games Workshop has released in a while. I mean, I would take a unit of Loremaster of Hoeths before I took one of those. Like that is where we're at.
A unit of Hadoukens, as they say. You know what? I think it's very strange because I remember when Tyranids were dirty and they just seem so goddamn clean now. It really bothers me. Like, I feel like of all the models that Games Workshop gives us, these are the ones with the least amount of detail for the opportunity to have a ton of detail. Do you kind of follow me? Like, they're just like rib bones. So is there any, like, texturing on those things? No. Why would you? You know,
they've got dildo nubbins down the chest. That's right. I mean, that's par for the course.
Really, exactly. A little dog penis is poking out there. That's how you can tell that guy's excited. It's a chest full of dog dicks.
And ladies and gentlemen, the name of our episode. Chest full of dog dicks.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about the image at the top. We're just going to start working our way down. What is this, Nathan?
I can't remember. I think it's the Exocrine, to be honest. Basically, what they did is they took two bugs from Epic, because Games Workshop is out of ideas. Mm-hmm. And they decided to take the concept from Epic and then fuck up the execution so it no longer looks like those old Epic bugs and instead just looks like a Carnifex. Mm-hmm. And go with it. So yes, that is the Exocrine, which I never played Epic. I'm sure Aaron is right now furiously typing in the Facebook comments, calling us all idiots for not playing Epic and telling us exactly what it does. No one cares, Aaron. No one cares. But like I said, I guess I don't even know what its role is supposed to be because Tyranids have so much heavy support shooting bugs. I mean, we got Carnifexes, we've got Tyrannifexes. So now we just have, I guess, a big Biovore.
It's what it looks like to me, yeah, is a big Biovore. I mean, outside of the general design of it, it seems very haphazardly designed. Mm-hmm. In the sense that they're just like, so just like a bigger Carnifex, but like, let's fit a cannon on his back. And he looks so much like just a really fucked up turtle that I have a very hard time taking the model seriously.
Do you want to see the, I sent you a link that is the,
Epic
version of it. And is that not actually better in every way than the fucking Carnifex with a big old Biovore gun?
Well, and I think that that's kind of – it kind of looks like a Triceratops with a really big nose.
Right?
But okay. I think the interesting thing here is that this looks like living artillery. That looks like a turtle with a gun coming out of its back. And I think that that's kind of where I lose the whole idea of this model where it just the entire concept falls off for me, because it really just looks like they glued a dick on the back of some Tyranid turtle. You know what I mean? Like it just although
but it
Teenage
is
Mutant Tyranid
teenage...
Turtles.
Damn it. Ah-ha-ha. I'm going to slow play the joke.
Bam. Teenage Mutant Tyranid Turtles. Teenage Mutant Tyranid Turtles. Teenage Mutant
with a chest full of dog dicks. I mean...
Turtles
the
on
hentai
hashtag.
Of it is what's really weird.
Turtle power. We move on. Shoulder pads.
I guess.
I don't know how we could possibly move on from that.
Yeah, listen,
should just be like turtle power, and that is
the
forecast for this week. Oh my god. All right. So here we are looking at a Hive Tyrant with the Lady Gaga shoulder pads.
You mean a warrior.
Is it just a warrior with Lady Gaga shoulder pads?
Just warrior. That's a Tyranid Prime because that's the new warrior kit with Lady Gaga shoulder pads, which is supposedly what makes him prime.
Is the Lady Gaga shoulder pads?
Yes.
That's really unfortunate.
It is.
Bone sword, gun, whip, tail. I mean,
like I said, this is one of the models that I do actually like. I don't care for the prime bit, to be honest. I might end up just swapping in a Ravener chest piece because it doesn't have the fucking gigantic shoulder pads. But I like this because you've got a little more details in the legs. The mouths are a little more detailed. Like the details look sharper sculpted because the old warrior box was released in like 2004.
Something I never expected anyone to say. I'm happier with the mouths.
Right?
I think the mouths
it
work
just
better.
It just looks so pretty. But basically, it's the exact same kit with a little sharper detailing and all of the weapon options. That makes me happy because I've always been a fan of warriors. I've always loved them. I actually have 18 of them painted. Not that you would ever know because this book is so god-awful for warrior size, like middle-sized Tyranids. Mm-hmm. That I haven't played them since it came out, to be honest. But like I said, I'm excited. I'll probably pick up another unit of 9 out of the new box because Lashwit Bone Swords. Yeah, I can finally do it in plastic. So
there you go.
Hooray for that.
Yeah, this is another one of those models that just looks far too clean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I have a very hard time with it. You know, like, yes, you say there is quite a bit more detail in the legs, which is really good. But it's a lot of kind of weird flat detail. And I think mm-hmm. that the design of the shoulder pads is so remarkably hilarious. I have a very, very hard time looking at anything else other than the Lady Gaga shoulder pads. All right, let's talk about the Ripper Swarm. The little Ripper.
Is that even a new Ripper? I don't even know what it is, to
I think
be
it's got
to
be a Ripper.
It could be a shitty biomorph that's supposed to go on to something and give them, like, poison or something. If it is a new Ripper Swarm...
like a sucker fish hanging on the bottom of a shark?
Yeah, I guess. Japanese schoolgirls, beware. They definitely decide to go with the hentai tentacles on it. Like I said, I honestly can't tell from the picture what it's supposed to be.
Yep. And then we get to the... easily the most hilarious thing you will see in all of these pictures. And it is the iPhone. That's got to be a 3. iPhone 3, maybe an iPhone 2. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the iPhone 2 is 4G. But like very clearly of all of these pictures, it's the same DPI. It's the same quality. Everything is there. But for some reason, after taking a picture of the picture, they then took a screenshot of the picture and then shared that.
Yes.
It's amazing because it's exactly at 25% battery life and something appears to be working at the top of the screen. Like, this is one of those skins that you can go Google and just like put it on any picture you want to make it look like it's somebody took a screenshot of their iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And then this monster's thing is I got to go with Rapesplosion.
Yeah, you know what? I think Rapesplosion works.
Because it's not that like... sensual carnifex, you know.
Oh,
I mean?
No, this hurts.
This is the kind that like
tentacles. You'd fight it off for a little bit, but once it got started, you'd realize it ain't so bad.
There's a lot,
and
of
you
lube.
Just ride it out.
There's no lube on this. This is straight hardcore hentai. It's so stupid. It's so goddamn stupid.
Remember how I sent you a link of the other one? This one, I actually think, is an improvement of the original concept. However, that's not saying a lot.
All right, let's take a look here.
That is a Haru Specs from Epic. It really isn't an improvement. Like,
okay, I do understand now the why they went for the full redesign. They're just like, all right, listen, guys, ground up, let's fix this shit. But yeah, the whole rape explosion, it completely baffles me that they feel like this is something that the army needed. Like, I like the idea of, you know, this gigantic, you know, like furious looking claw monster. And I guess that's what they're going for. Because all I thought about when I first saw it was like, you remember that scene in Beetlejuice when he's talking to the couple after they summon him and they go down to the model graveyard. And he's just like, you know, show you my scary face. And then they just show like a picture from the back of his head. And like, it's just this like, his face opens up and all you see are like these tentacles come out the side. And it's like this 2 second explosion of just like, wah! And then like it just pulls back and he's like, pretty scary, huh? And they're like, oh, yeah. And they're like clearly shocked. That's all I think about. And if you know the scene in Beetlejuice I'm talking about.
Oh, I do. It's fantastic.
Exactly, right? It's just a good part of the movie. That's all I think about now is like Beetlejuice going, blah, pretty scary, huh?
Right. No, it's I do think Rape Explosion is good. However, let's be honest, there is no gag reflex on him.
No,
I mean, that is open wide.
Yeah, he deep throat a telephone pole.
He is good to go. No, I mean, the rumors for him are that he has rules that allows him to kind of grab something and pull it closer to him. That's what his Rape Explosion is doing, is pulling something closer to him in charge range. But again, I've just got to look at it and say, conceptually, what the fuck is the point? Like, both of these models, like I talked about it with the top one where I'm just like, I guess it's a bigger Biovore. What's the point? I have heavy weapon shooting bugs. And this is another, what's the point? I mean, I have Carnifexes, I have Trigons, I even have Molochs that are big bugs designed to get into combat. What is he adding? Like, what is he going to be doing differently? So, I mean, this really does feel like Games Workshop was scraping the bottom of the Tyranid barrel, saying, well, we need to release a big kit. Because, I mean, like, we got the flyer, check. Because, again, like, every new 6th edition book needs a flyer. So, flyer, check. We got a redesign of an older box that needed it, check. We're going to take a pewter set of models in the Hive Guard and Tyrant Guard. We're going to turn it into a combi kit. Check. Fuck, we're missing a big model. A pointless large model. Well, what can we do? And like I said, it really feels like they are scraping the bottom of the barrel with both of these models. Especially when you consider the fact that the Trigon / Moloch kit was the first big model kit that Games Workshop released. And to this day, it's still one of the best. It looks 100 times better than this.
Yeah, well, I mean, he looks very upset. And I get that, because with a mouthful of angry umbilical cords, you would be upset too. Let's move on.
It's true. It's like an afterbirth that never comes.
Oh my God, perpetual afterbirth. I played bass for them. Okay, so... Harpy! Oh, look at this shitty picture of a harpy. Why would somebody's camera take... What, are we
talking about, like, really, really tiny one?
Yeah, why would somebody's camera take such terrible pictures of a harpy, considering that...
Well, because he was taking a picture of the thumbnail of the website.
Every other photo appears to be either iPhone or something else. Why is this one little?
No, I know. I mean, honestly, when you do look at the two of them, it's clear that they are the different variants.
Oh,
honestly,
shit, you're right. They're little suckers, because you can see them hanging under their wings.
Exactly. So like I said, we've got one is the harpy, one is the whatever the fuck the dual kit is in. Because again, Games Workshop is addicted to them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make dual kits. Like I said, it's one of those really middle-of-the-road models. What I see...
That's a flyer. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the flyer.
That is their flyer one because it's on the big old flying stand.
It looks so small because the picture's so small.
Right? But like I said, this is my flyer double kit. I'm liking what I see from the big picture, like that top view. I'm liking it. I think it looks really interesting. I do want a 360 to see the way the body tapers because it looks like it's just a flying slug.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, we'll see. Yep. I'm excited for getting better views of it, but this one is a hopeful, unlike the giant bug kit, like the Exocrine Horror Specs one, where I'm just like, I just do not give any fucks.
Yeah, I like the look of this kit as well. I think for a flyer, it does a very good job of kind of giving you something that's very, you know, specific to the Tyranids. Again, this is an epic kit. I do actually know this one. It's the Herodan, right?
No, this is too small to be a Herodan. Herodan was Forge World. And I believe its rules were in the Escalation book, which I've yet to buy. So we'll eventually cover Escalation just when, you know, Lang's not
in that case
from life.
It's just another smooth looking Tyranid model. Doesn't look dirty at all. Hey, look, another picture that Nathan has sent me of
the Herodan. I've just sent you the Forge World link so you can see how much better looking the Herodan is.
Oh, hell yeah. God damn it. Thank you.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, the Harpy's okay, but the Herodan, that thing is fucking sweet.
All right. Hut, hut, hut! Let's talk about Tyrant Guard.
Can't we just skip it?
Nope. Absolutely not. Right.
Okay, so the Tyrant Guard is the Down Syndrome variant of the Hive Guard kit. Honestly, I thought Drildos and Shoulder Stocks were ridiculous, but then Games Workshop had to say, you know what? No. Nathan, they are not ridiculous because this is ridiculous. Football shoulder pads, the so pathetically overused I'm holding a Space Marine head arm, along with a lash.
I was going to point out about that as well. I thought we were past those days.
You know,
I thought we were past the days of, look, I'm holding a skull of an army.
Because I'm such a badass.
Oh my God.
I literally killed him.
I know I'm fighting orcs right now, but I keep this with me. It's like my Branky. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I thought we were past that. I thought we were past this whole holding heads bullshit. You know,
so did I, but then, but here it is again. Although, have you noticed that he has two sets of arms that are each a different scale? So it is quite clear the dude works out with his lower arms. Like, they are fucking huge. Okay?
He never
like
skip fucking top arm day.
Skips top arm day. You know, but like, that's the thing where you're just like, all right, so we've got comically oversized shoulder pads. Check. Two sets of arms. Again, Tyranids have six limbs. They're like insects. Great, we get that. This is the only model I can name for Tyranids that one set of arms is significantly larger than the other. Because even when we're talking the squirmy bugs like Trigons, Raveners, Molochs, they all go with like sort of a like one step down where it's just like their top arms are super huge and big. Also not the case on this model.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, the set down is like 10% smaller. The set down is 10% smaller than that. And it kind of works because as the body itself is getting thinner, the arms are getting thinner. But not this motherfucker. No, his lower arms are massive. Like, seriously, he arm wrestles with those fucking things. Like, he's not even dicking around with top arms.
Well, he doesn't have a dick.
Well, that's because chest full of dog dicks is hogging
right.
Them.
Exactly. Fuck. He's hogging all the dicks. I think it would be hilarious to see somebody paint a Tyranid army and then basically, like, just paint the whole thing legit. They look like Tyranids. They're dirty. They're mean. Ready to go. And then just these guys, paint them up like the fucking New England Patriots. And just do Patriot colors and like put the decals on and just be like, you know, come on, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Look, dude, my Tyrant obviously needs an offensive line.
Absolutely, man.
It is the only way he rolls.
This Tyrant guard is my defensive tackle. All right. And then we got another picture of the Rape Explosion. You know, it's a much fuller picture. We kind of see some crab claws happening.
like I said, I just don't care about this bug. You know, like, honestly, if Robin Credace were writing it, I would expect it to be 100 points cheaper than a Trigon and, like, more wounds, better armor, the usual. Mm-hmm. But from a rules perspective, this thing would have to be so amazingly good that I could not fill that niche with other already painted models for me to even consider him. Because I said, I'm not a huge fan of the model. I think it looks silly, which is not what I'm going for with my Tyranids. And I already have a ton of heavy support big bugs. Like, yeah. I just do not care about this model even a little bit.
You know what you should care about? Poor resolution photos of stats.
Hey, listen, I am just impressed that someone was able to find a Generation 1 digital camera to take this photo with, okay? I mean, like, you know, you remember the days before they had megapixels?
That's right. When it was like, you can take photos of things, and the photos will resemble the things that you were pointing your phone
and
at.
And you can put them right onto your computer.
Yes.
To the table and download our drivers. Nothing ever works.
Oh, it's completely fucking ridiculous, the fact that they're just like, yeah, let's just blur this side. Because obviously this was taken from a page. It's like, yeah, but we can see this wasn't taken from a page. Like, this is taken of a scan of something else that you're making look like a – like, we're not fucking idiots, right? I'm not even going to talk about the stats. I don't see any reason to. We'll get there when the book comes out.
Yeah, I was going to say, basically, it just looks like Termagaunts went down a point.
Yep. And then we get to see the cover of the Codex.
I like it.
I like it because it's not super clean. You know, it actually looks like Tyranids that we would think a Tyranid looks like, but – for some reason, the models are all super squeaky clean and super smooth, and I love the look of this because this is what the models should look like. I don't understand why the models don't look like this.
Well, especially when you look at all of the Forge World Tyranids, the Hyroduals, the Hierophant, the
Heron. We've been seeing that detail for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get another picture of the Warrior Brood and the Gene Stealer Brood. Anything to comment on there, Nathan? I don't know the rules well enough to say.
By the looks of it, so the points costs are exactly the same as are the stat lines for both. So we will see. Although I find the only thing that I do want to mention that is interesting is that Tyranid Warriors have the very bulky rule. Very bulky means that you take up 3 spots in a transport vehicle, and Tyranids don't have those.
Mm-hmm.
So... interesting.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it could be, it could definitely mean something
is a
cool.
Transport bug.
Yeah, it could mean something cool from the rules perspective. All right. So those are the pictures that we have so far. I mean, in general, I get that they're keeping with the aesthetic that they've done in the past, and they're basically just expanding on what's currently there as opposed to trying to reinvent the Tyranids. And, I mean, Tyranids are the army that have gone through the most reinventions. So, you know, the fact that they're happy with it, they're going to stick with it, this is the direction that they want to go. I'm cool with that. I think that, for the most part, what they're putting into the army is, I mean, it's stupid, but it's interesting enough in the sense that they feel like they're filling holes in the army that don't necessarily exist. Why do you feel like Games Workshop is going so heavy in that direction of big kits all over the place, as opposed to, you know, kind of giving, okay, let me rephrase it. Like, what are you not seeing here that you feel like is missing from Tyranids right now?
I don't know if anything is necessarily missing from Tyranids, because even in the Robin Credace Codex, the soon to be retired one, Tyranids had all the tools they needed to do the job. The biggest issues I always had with that Codex was that some of the points costing was just ludicrous. You know, like, let's make a Carnifex cost 160 points, and let's make a Moloch cost 10 points more for 2 more wounds. And, you know, and you're just like, and the ability to zip around the board and do ordnance attacks and everything. You're like, really? Like, come on. Like, what the fuck is this? So, I mean, other than points costing and some minor details, like, certain units that should have grenades not having grenades, things of that nature, Tyranids had all of the tools they needed. And that's another reason why when I look at the new kit, because I mean, like, obviously we know you need a flyer, and they're going to split that into you get a fighter, you get a bomber. Every book gets that. So mm-hmm. that's great. I know that's the style that the flyers are going to be. But otherwise, I don't even understand the point for this new big kit. So I don't look at it and say there's anything missing, because I really do feel like Tyranids have one of the biggest filled out ranges. The only thing that I find a little bit interesting is that we're not seeing models for any of the units that don't currently have them. So mm-hmm. the Doom of Malentai, where's the model for him? What about the Parasite of Mortrex, the sort of weird flying one that no one ever took because his rules were really wacky? Right?
Right.
I'm not even seeing, and I'm hoping they're in the warrior kit, but it's just like wings. What about wings for warriors? They've always had winged warriors in Tyranids since the third edition book. And right now, the only way for me to be able to take them is by buying fucking really expensive Forge World upgrades for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're just like, there are things that I was kind of hoping to see, like winged warriors, that I'm not seeing yet. But otherwise, from a model perspective, it's looking okay. Honestly, I think I need to stockpile the shit out of the current range Hive Guard or Tyrant Guard, because I love the current range Tyrant Guard.
I like the way they look, yeah.
I think the whole idea that it looks like basically like an overgrown pit bull that is nothing but armor plates, I thought was cool. Because you're just like, it is literally ablative wounds for a tyrant. That was its entire reason for existing. And I love the fact that the current range model really captured that. Whereas this looks like he's trying to protect the pocket so that the tyrant can get the ball off before the enemy linebackers get in and sack for
this is what we play for. Somebody hit somebody.
On any given Sunday.
That's right.
You can either win or you can lose.
All right. So, for the most part, for me, the Tyranid models are all very meh. I've said multiple times, Tyranids are to me as Lizardmen are to Nathan, even though they're basically the same thing. But yes,
like they are literally the
they
same
are basically
things,
the same thing.
I cannot stand the fantasy version. You can't stand the science
that's
fiction
the truth
version.
Right there, it absolutely falls off for me. Okay, so you guys all get a special treat today. We have a stupidity check for you, and the stupidity check for this week is Spartan Games be fucking up. That's what it comes down to. And I got my rule book for Firestorm Armada 2.0. I've read through it. I'm enjoying the rules. I think that it's very, very cool. They're absolutely taking the game in a new direction, which I think is going to be very fun. And we're going to have a lot to talk about. Nathan and I were talking about it before the show, and we both figure we're probably going to end up needing two episodes to really break this down. Almost an entire episode just to talk about the scenarios and the MAR rules that are going to be changed here, because a lot of things have changed from what we've seen so far. Even in the pre-release beta edition rules that I had my hands on. So I was surprised that a lot of things did change. A lot of things that we talked about in the previous episode, we were talking about Firestorm Armada. You know, even those rules, like we said, they've changed. So what they've released right now is very, very cool. But it's problematic. And the reason for that is they've added these awesome new things to the game that everybody really wants to try. Basically, you can use the battle log to decide margins of victory and victory in games. And I feel like the battle log works really well with the scenarios, because the scenarios are created in such a way that they work along with the battle log. And the battle log is essentially, if I kill one of your battleships, I gain 2 points on my battle log. If you lose a battleship, you gain -2 on your battle log, and then the game ends when the spread comes along. Yeah, exactly.
And it did sound really cool, the whole notion of things could scale, and you could even take free actions take a negative hit. Subtract. So you would always look at it and say, can I afford it? Do I want to risk it? Blah, blah, blah. So like I said, it was a very interesting addition, and I actually really liked the idea of it. So go on, Lang. What's the problem with the battle log?
The other very interesting addition to the game is tactical ability cards, TAX. It's a whole stage of the game. It is a portion of the turn prior, like the turn order, the tack phase, the this phase, the that phase. I've seen the beta versions of the tack cards. There's a whole battle log thing that ties in with tactic cards, and tactical ability cards are race specific. So there are tactical ability cards that are specific to Dendrenzi and Directorate, as well as some generic ones. In the new rulebook, there is no battle log and there is no tactical ability card section. There's a section that explains the rules of tactical ability cards, and they even show you a picture of what a tactical ability card looks like, but it does not exist. The thing that's happening here is that Spartan Games is going, oh yeah, well, you know, I mean, sure, these are vital to the game, you know, but we're not going to give it to you in the rule book. You have to buy the rule book, and then you also have to buy one of the new fleet boxes. Because the new fleet boxes will come with all of your counters. That's another thing that you don't get in the new rulebook. You don't get any of the counters. You just get a picture of what the counters look like. And in the battle box, you get the counters, you get the battle log, and you get the tactical ability cards. But they don't fucking tell you if what you're getting in one box is the tactical ability cards for that race and the generic cards, or if you're actually getting all of the tactical ability cards for every single race. Now, that would be quite a few cards, so I don't necessarily know if that's the case. I mean, this is a real pain in the ass for anybody who has been playing this game since it came out, like myself. I mean, I think I have three different fleets at this point. You know, I've got a huge Directorate fleet. I'm ready to play. I don't need to buy another fucking box of Directorate models. I mean, you guys heard me when we were talking about the models. I don't particularly think they're any better than the old ones. So really, there's no reason for me to go out and buy those boxes. Now, if I could get all the tactical ability cards in one box, sure, maybe I'd go, you know what, I've been looking at those Rolthosa, and I want to play that army. I think they look really cool. I'm going to buy that box so I can get the counters and I can get the blah, 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 blah. But I don't even know if I'm going to get the fucking cards. It is very possible that Spartan Games will be releasing a PDF with all the tact cards in it, as well as the PDF with all the Xenian League and Alliance of Kurok stats, which they haven't released after the book has been released. So anybody who wants to play those fucking ships can't. Or you have to use the old stats, which fucking, I mean, why would you? Why would you want to do that, right? So, I mean, it's just Spartan Games be fucking up. I mean, really, you're talking about releasing your second edition. Get your shit together. Also, stop fucking over independent retailers. So that right. Nathan can get his goddamn book, you know, maybe that battle station he felt like getting, you know, and I mean, I feel bad. I really wanted the battle station. And I talked to Kyle and I was like, listen, you know, I buy all my shit from you anyways, right? Hey. Like, I want the battle station. He's like, Gilly, I don't fault you for getting the battle station. But, you know, like he's lost more than half his pre-orders at this point because everybody's like, well, yeah, I want a battle station. I want to get that book as soon as possible. And they're shipping it out to people before they're shipping it out to the retailers.
And that's the big thing that I was going to point out is their release day was 11 days ago.
Yeah.
11 days later after the release of your game and retailers do not have their copies of it.
Yeah. Apparently like, a couple do. Like I know that a couple places have it.
Well, but I was going to say, I do think it varies by distributor. I think that, you know, certain distributors got theirs first and sent them out and blah, blah, blah. So yes, you're right. Some do, some don't. But at the end of the day, there is no other industry on this planet that will advertise a release date and then fuck it up and not meet it for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was saying before when we were talking about this before we started recording, it really feels like Spartan Games is looking at it and going, you know what, Games Workshop is king of the hill and they fuck over their retailers and customers at every opportunity. Like, We should just adopt these sorts of policies. Like if we start fucking them over, then we too can be king of the hill. But like I said, it's so weird to see because Spartan Games has always up to this point been very good about their relationships with both independent retailers. Like they've never had this kind of web exclusive bullshit where it's just like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, you can't get these free things, you know, but if you order from us, like, you know, they're not even allowing independent retailers to buy their Battle for Valhalla starter set.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucking crazy. Like, why would you not allow an independent retailer to stock a starter set for your game? I mean, right. Games Workshop has proven the success of the starter set model. It is the easiest way to get two people into a game because starter sets are amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And the starter set has the tokens and it has everything that you need to play and you're ready to go. I think what's so silly about this is that Spartan Games is actually pretty good when it comes to digital releases. You know, like they give everyone their digital releases for free. You don't have to pay for them. You want the fleet manuals? The fleet manuals have been up for a while. You know, but why aren't the tac cards in the fleet manuals? Why aren't the counters in the fleet manuals? Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, you obviously have this material ready to go because the cards are available if I go buy one of these patrol boxes. If my independent retailer happens to fucking have them on the shelf.
Yes. Well, and even then, the old battle cards, I used to be able to just buy separately. So it's just like you've created this model in the past where you've had cards that are a part of playing this game. I've always been able to just kind of pick them up and go with it. And now you're saying, nope, sorry. Like, you don't get it. So like I said, it's a huge stupidity check for them. You know, like I said, I want to give Kyle my money for their product. And I think that's the key there. As like I said, I did not particularly care for the look of any of the battle stations. And I also could not decide on whether I wanted a Dendrenzi one and Aquan one, both fleets I own. Mm-hmm. And I'm painting Aquans. I would have went with the Dendrenzi letter H. And regretted it because I'm not even painting Dendrenzi right now.
Well, and you know, it's really...
Or Reloza because I love the patrol fleet box. Yeah. So I said I couldn't decide, which is why I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to buy it from Kyle. He'll get it in. It'll probably be later that week, maybe early the next week. But like I said, here mm-hmm. we are where we're looking at... It's going to be two full weeks from their release date before I might possibly get it. And you're just like, come on. Mm-hmm. I want to play your game. But all you're doing is telling me that I should go play someone else's game.
Well, you know, it's very frustrating for me because I really am like a huge proponent of the game. You know, like I really do push the game and I try to get people into it. I try to get people going. And from that perspective of trying to get people into the game, it's very hard to sell somebody on the game right now because we just don't have what we need to play properly. If I were to sit somebody down and play a starter game, I would be playing victory points because it's the only thing we can really do. We have the rules for the battle log, but we don't have the tax. So the tax are a huge part of the battle log and how you play the game and what makes the battle log worthwhile. Can I play it without the tax? Sure, of course I can play it without the tax. But we're missing a huge aspect of the game. It is very, very frustrating. It is absolutely a failed stupidity check for Spartan Games. Spartan Games, you should be fucking ashamed of yourselves. Get your shit together. You were doing everything right for the longest time. Everything right. You were getting people amped. You were getting people ready to go. And now you're just fucking up everywhere. This is something that you guys need to fix. I really don't like the idea that when the new rulebook comes out, I can't get everything that the new rules entail when I need to get it. And especially due to the fact that it's like, well, no, you just need to go buy a patrol box. Fuck you. I don't need to go pay £40 for a box that I can get tokens and cards that should have been included in the fucking rulebook. Three pages of the rulebook is all I'm asking for here. You know what I mean? Like, well, that's what's so stupid about it. What, you had to save those three pages?
Well, and that's exactly what you said earlier when you said, you know, I've been playing this from day one. I don't need more directorate ships. And that's the truth of it. So, like, you know, like you said, and like we were having this discussion, we don't know if one patrol box would have all of the cards we need to play.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's just going to be like, these are the generics and the Aquan ones. That's all you get. So it's just like neither of us are willing to shell out the £40 because we don't even know if we're going to get a full set or not.
Yeah.
Well, and even then, the other thing is like, right now, yes, I get that you are really focusing on the six primary races that you launched your game with, but you have more fleets than that. So right now, you only have rules for, what, 30% of your available models?
Let me tell you this right now. When I ran both Firestorm Armada tournaments, there were about, I would say, a quarter of the players played RSN.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing for RSN right now.
Well, and that's exactly it is. I mean, like, this would be like Games Workshop pulling a hard reboot on their game system, which they did with 3rd 40K and, mm-hmm. and 6th Fantasy. So they've done it before. But in both cases, they provided the rules for every single model that existed. With Fantasy, they released the Ravening Hordes books that had stopgap rules while they hurriedly ramped up Codex releases. For 40K, they just put everything in the fucking rule book.
Yeah.
But if I owned that model, I had rules to play it. And right now, that's not the case. And like I said, there's probably 70% of all Firestorm Armada fleets do not have rules for them.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking crime.
It really is a real pain in the ass, especially due to the fact that in the current rules, we've got these preferred allies options that basically say, oh, you're playing Directorate? Well, hey, guess what? Your preferred ally is Works Raptor.
Who? I don't know what their rules are.
Really? I'm going to be using them? Now, I've seen the rules for the Alliance of Kurok and Xenian League ships, the beta rules. So I have an idea of what they're going to do with them. But again, it's one of those things that, well, why are you waiting? Why are you holding on to these things? People want to play the things that they own right now. Why aren't you letting them play the things that they own right now? So, I mean, I think it's just a complete failure. It's a total kick in the pants. I mean, you're basically making your entire player base sit around and either play the core fleets and nothing else or just not buy anything. Nobody's going to buy anything right now. I'm not going to go tell somebody, hey, you should go buy that rule book or you should go pre-order that rule book from the Spartan Games website. You should go buy these ships because they're really cool. I'm going to say, you know what you should do? Wait 3 months.
Yeah.
And well, hey, guess what, guys? You're not selling stuff because I'm a J-list internet celebrity, and what I say carries a lot of weight.
That's right. You know, like I said, I agree. I think it's their whole approach to this launch has been really, really poor, and it's a shame.
Yeah.
It really is, because like you said, they had a lot of momentum. They were doing things right. They had a lot of people excited for the second edition, especially when we were hearing what it was going to bring, you know, alternate victory methods. And most importantly, because, as I alluded to at the beginning of this episode, one of my big issues was that it didn't matter who was playing what fleet. They all really felt the same.
Yeah.
You know, you played the fleet whose models you liked because everything about them really played the same. There would be a minor difference here or there.
Right. You get one more dice to my one more point.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, but now every fleet plays differently. They've finally added in the flavor of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The way that my Marines are not the same as your Guards, you know, are not the same as Tau. That's the kind of flavor that they've added into the game. And as someone who's played Workshop games for 15 years, that's what was missing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like I said, that was one of the reasons why I was amped to get in. Now, I'm lucky that I only ever jumped in with Aquins and Indrenzi. So at least I'm not, you know, at least I didn't pick up all those fucking pathogen ships. Because I was even telling you, I'm like, you know what, man, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to pick up the pathogen because I love the battleship. I can start converting. You know, Maddie was going to maybe hook me up with some old Reloza so I could match the aesthetic. I'm happy as fuck I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Because all I would feel like is that I'd wasted my time.
You'd be sitting on your thumbs.
Yeah, I would feel like I'd wasted my time, and then I would probably be so pissed off that I would literally not play Firestorm Armada on principle.
Well, and especially because of the fact that right now, pathogens rules do not work with the current rule set. And I mean, they do not work at all with the current rule set. The way that they have it set up, you can regen your AP, but you don't lose any AP in the current rules ever. Unless there's a critical hit or something else is reducing it from some special ability, right? But like the whole idea of like, oh, I do a boarding assault and then I regen my AP. That doesn't mean anything anymore. So it's such a stupid thing that it's like you guys have now changed the rules to the point where there are fleets that are literally broken. And I've talked about how I hate the word broken. But like literally broken. It just does not work in the rules. You cannot play them because there are no rules that address this aspect of their gameplay. So it's very, very silly. All right. So I really do feel bad because I'll tell you this right now. The rules are really good. I'm excited. And everything that I've read makes me want to play the game and really get down to business. The battle log I could give a shit about because, like I said, two D20s and you're ready to go. A red one, a blue one, or a red one and a green one I think would be the way to go. Red for negative, green for positive. You know what I'm saying? But basically, yeah, like it's one of the things where they've added so much depth. And because I play Directorate, my fleet changed so much that it's like I'm diving right in again for the first time. And I'm ready to play the scenarios. But for fuck's sakes, I can't because Maddie plays RSN. This person plays Orochan. This person plays Terrakians, you know. And it's like, fuck, guys. Like like you said, you don't have rules for 60% of your game right now. Like, go fuck yourselves. What are you doing? And apparently we're just going to sit and wait. We're going to wait around for another 2-3 weeks, 2 months, 4 months.
They haven't even announced anything.
They don't even know what the fuck's going on.
It was surprising to me that there are no rules in the rule book because of the fact that Firestorm has always had rules in their rule book. They've always had rules in there. Yeah. And then they released Marauders of the Rift where they're like, look, it's a fun campaign book. And holy fuck, look at like 50 pages of rules for different fleets. So, like I said, they've always done it a certain way. And now they're just like, nope, no rules in the rule book. I guess we'll release codexes for free online when we get around to it later.
Yeah. And like I said, I know they have the rules. I know they have the material. This isn't about playtesting and, oh, it's not ready yet because that shit's in the boxes. It's ready to go. God, put a fucking template sheet out on your website so we can at least print the fucking templates. I don't have to go scan my rule book, print it 100 times on the printer at work, find a paper cutter, lose a finger. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're dismembering me is what I'm trying to get at.
Wow, that escalated quickly.
It really, really did. Oh, my God. So let's do a weekly listener poll question.
Okay.
You know, I feel like I want to compare the battle scrolls and data slates to the way that Spartan Games is releasing their PDFs. And I guess the question I want to pose to listeners is, do you prefer, and I'm not talking about cost, okay? This is just preference. Do you prefer a big PDF, 120 pages, full of fluff and artwork and rules, or do you want an 8-page rules only PDF like Firestorm Armada gives you? Because I'll tell you this right now, I prefer 8 pages. I prefer short, concise rules. I don't feel like all the pageantry is required when we're talking about a PDF release. What do you think, Nathan?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, how many digital codexes have we reviewed on this podcast, and not a single one have we ever given a fuck about the fluff.
Yeah, like we'll catch a piece of artwork where we're like, yeah, that's new art. That's really nice.
Moving on.
Right, and then like you would read a little bit of the fluff until you realize that it's just the same fluff copied and pasted with maybe somebody kind of rewrote it, but otherwise it's just old articles. The text has been moved over, or somebody's gone through and given you a synopsis of the army that is different from the previous synopsis of the army.
I love that kind of stuff on physical books because I have the ability to read it at my leisure. I can hold it. I can flip past it. I can do all of those things. But when we're talking about a digital format, and that's what it is, I want to be able to open it up, get to my rules. I don't want to have to add the bookmarks for my convenience later. I want to know that they are there. I can just get to it and get going. Get what I need, get out. Exactly. Because
I mean, I had a bunch of the data slates and the scrolls on my BlackBerry playbook. And you get in there and you want to look for rules. And it's like swipe, 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 swipe.
Oh, that's what I needed.
Swipe, 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 swipe. Oh, that references this page? Swipe, 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 swipe. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that the iPad, apparently, you know, there's a clickety-buttity-pushity thing that, like, shows you the things that you need to see. But I don't own an iPad because I'm not a hipster douchebag.
Ward.
Scotch. But really, you know, I mean, it's just I like being able to go into my tablet and say, right, I am now about to play a game of Firestorm Armada. Zip, zip, zip. Look, here are the 8 pages of Dindrenzi rules that I need. But there's another thing. Why the fuck aren't the tacks in the 8-page Dindrenzi PDF, right? Like, the tacks are specific to the Dindrenzi the same way that a ship is specific to the Dindrenzi. So why the fuck aren't they in there? Anyways.
Fuck your dolphin.
I'm drunk. Fuck all dolphins. Oh, my God, dude.
You know what I like? I like tuna that isn't dolphin friendly. Yeah, I said it.
So, have you seen The Hobbit, Nathan? Something shiny. Have you seen The Hobbit?
No, but I never watched the first Hobbit until it came out on Blu-ray, and I was so unimpressed with it that I decided that I would also wait till the Blu-ray release because I could care less.
Good man. I think that's probably the advice that I would give anybody, is that this one is better than The Unexpected Journey. The Desolation of Smaug is better.
Yeah.
Now, the question is The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, strategy battle game better?
Hobbit? You mean Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, strategy battle game, The Lightning Thief? No, I mean... oh, God. No, you know what? Fuck it. I don't even want to talk about that. Let's just act like that doesn't exist. All right. Here's my breakdown. Here's my quick review of the movie. It is better. It is more serious. It is still riddled with, like, overly childish moments. And it is too long. So much like the first one, it definitely has its moments. It's entertaining. But, like, especially, like, the first hour, the scripting seems really, really forced. Like, it's really heavy. And then you kind of get into it and it's fine. Everything to do with Legolas is completely inane. It just there's no purpose for it to be in the movie. So the 45 minutes that they devote to Legolas and his action scenes and the things, I'm not fucking around. And the things that go in with that are just so pointless that, like, anybody who's read the book or even, like, seen the original movies is just kind of sitting there going, you know, this is unnecessary. Like, it is almost midnight and we are halfway through this movie. Like, could we get to what's happening, you know?
All right. Now, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that all of that unnecessary bullshit was added when Peter Jackson announced that the two-part Hobbit movie was now going to be a trilogy?
Absolutely.
And he just needed to pad the length?
Yes, absolutely. You know, here's the thing. The first Hobbit movie, my only complaint with it was that it was too long. It was too long. It would have been a really fun movie. You know, where you would look at something like The Chronicles of Narnia. And The Chronicles of Narnia was a fun movie, and they kind of kept it in the right time frame, where you felt pretty okay about it. But it wasn't great. The Hobbit was pretty great, but it was so long that there's so many parts that you just kind of tune out because you're just sitting there going, like, ugh, unnecessary. And especially from a nerdy person who knows, you know, the name of the forest that the wood elves live in, you know, Khalas Galathon and so on and so forth. You know what I mean? Like, I know these things, and I know what a Morgul blade is, and I know where it comes from, and all that kind of crap. So, like, when I watch the movie, I'm just like, wow, this is fucking unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who don't know that stuff, it's just a long, dull movie. And it's really, really frustrating.
Because one of the things with me is I'm just like, I would take Alora to it, and she's watched The Hobbit with us at home,
mm-hmm.
but she only has about a 90-minute to 2-hour time frame, where it's like, after that, there is no bribery in the universe.
Kids gotta pee.
That's going to keep a 4-year-old entertained or engaged. So, I mean, like, for me, that was why we didn't see the first one in theater, and why, like I said, even after the first one was so mediocre. It was enjoyable enough, but it wasn't like oh my God, edge of my seat, I have to watch the new one.
Like I said, I liked it. I took my kids to go see it, and my kids enjoyed it, and then I bought it on Blu-ray, and my kids don't watch it. They're just like, yeah, Kanan, my son, who would be the only person who would say, hey, let's watch Lord of the Rings. I go, oh, you mean The Hobbit? He goes, no, the green one. Which, the green one being the first
Fellowship.
The Fellowship of the Ring. And I'm just like, good man, you picked the best one. It's the director's edition. You know, like, even my son is like, yeah, it's dull. You know what I mean? Like, he just, it doesn't even hold his attention. So I'm not taking my kids to this one, to Desolation of Smaug. I'm not buying the Blu-ray when it comes out because it's too long. Had they done 2 3-hour movies, I'd have been like, okay. Had they done 3 2-hour movies, I would have been like, okay. But the idea that they're doing 3 3-hour fucking movies, and I'm sure the third is going to be 3.5, I'm so done with it at this point that as much as I love Ian McKellen and Martin Freeman and what they do in the movie and like, you know, the fact that they really do give you like a fast-paced, fun action movie that's very light. It's stupid. I mean, at one point they're going down the stream in the barrels and like the fat guy's in a barrel and then the barrel goes out of the water and then the fat guy in the barrel runs over like 30 orcs and then as his barrel slowly starts to break, he keeps bouncing off walls bulldozing over orcs. And then he eventually like sticks his feet out the bottom of the barrel and shoves his arm out the side of the barrel and he's got two axes in each arm. And then he, because the barrel is clearly his armor, and then he does like a whirling dervish thing where he just spins in circles like beheading orcs and like cutting them down with his like barrel.
Wow, I'm already bored.
And then he just suddenly goes like he's just suddenly out of the barrel and he goes like running to the shore and he just goes and he jumps in another barrel. And I distinctly remember kind of everybody in the theater because it was all adults. We went to a late show. Everybody in the theater is just like, where'd the extra barrel come from? You know what I mean? Like it was so poorly done and it was so childish and stupid that even my kids would just be like, anyways. I would still say go see it if you like Lord of the Rings. It's entertaining. It's decent enough. It's not great, but it's not. I think the only thing that I can say is that just don't expect to compare it to the original trilogy. It is the prequels in the same way that the
Oh my
fucking Star
God.
Wars prequels are. It's very unfortunate because all you do is sit there and go, really? They even talk about Gimli to Legolas, and apparently that means nothing to Legolas later. Fuck prequels, like stuff like that, right? Wait for DVD, Nathan.
Right.
That has been Jada Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.